Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, February the 22nd, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have another opportunity to continue to study the events that are taking place around us, the warnings that you have given, so that we might be prepared for the time to come. We ask that you would fill us with understanding and strength, that we might indeed bear through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share an article with you found in the New York Times. It was published on February the 16th, 2020. The writer of the article is Katie Benner, B-E-N-N-E-R, and it has to do with the recent issues that have to do with the Justice Department and the Attorney General because of some of the decisions that he's made, especially with regard to Roger Stone. But the title of the article is Former Justice Department Lawyers Press for Barr to Step Down. The title again, Former Justice Department Lawyers Press for Barr to Step Down. And there's a subtext to that. It says more than 1,000 former prosecutors and officials who served in Republican and Democratic administrations signed an open letter condemning the president and the attorney general over the Stone case. That would be the Roger Stone case. Here's the article. More than 1,000 former federal prosecutors and Justice Department officials called on Attorney General William P. Barr on Sunday to step down after he intervened last week to lower the Justice Department's sentencing recommendation for President Trump's longtime friend, Roger J. Stone, Jr. They also urged current government employees to report any signs of unethical behavior at the Justice Department to the agency's Inspector General and to Congress. Each of us strongly condemns President Trump's and Attorney General Barr's interference in the fair administration of justice. The former Justice Department lawyers, who came from across the political spectrum, wrote in an open letter on Sunday. Those actions, they said, require Mr. Barr to resign. The sharp denunciation of Mr. Barr underlined the extent of the fallout over the case of Mr. Stone, capping a week that strained the Attorney General's relationship with his rank and file and the President himself. A Justice Department spokeswoman declined to comment. After prosecutors on Monday recommended a prison sentence of up to 9 years for Mr. Stone, who was convicted of obstructing a congressional inquiry, Mr. Trump lashed out at federal enforcement. Senior officials at the department, including Mr. Barr, overrode the recommendation the next day with a more lenient one, immediately prompting accusations of political interference, and the four lawyers on the Stone case abruptly withdrew in protest. The Justice Department said the case had not been discussed with anyone at the White House, but that Mr. Trump congratulated Mr. Barr on his decision did little to dispel the perception of political influence. And as the president widened his attacks on law enforcement, Mr. Barr publicly reproached the president, saying that Mr. Trump's statements undermined him as well as the department. I cannot do my job here at the department with a constant background commentary on that undercuts me, Mr. Barr said during a televised interview on Thursday with ABC News. In the days after the interview, Mr. Trump has been relatively muted. He said on Twitter that he had not asked Mr. Barr to do anything in the criminal case. As president, he added, he had the legal right to do so, but had so far chosen not to. But lawyers across the Justice Department continue to worry about political interference from the president, despite public pushback by Mr. Barr, long considered a close ally of Mr. Trump's. The letter's signatories included Donald Eyre, a former deputy attorney general under President George W. Bush, and about 50 former U.S. attorneys. Protect Democracy, a nonprofit legal group, gathered the signatures from Justice Department alumni and said it would collect more. In May, Protect Democracy gathered signatures from a letter that said the Mueller report presented enough evidence to charge Mr. Trump with obstruction of justice, were that an option. At the close of his investigation, the special counsel Robert S. Mueller III declined to indicate whether Mr. Trump illegally obstructed justice, citing a decades-old department opinion that a sitting president cannot be charged with a crime. That letter was also critical of Mr. Barr. Even as the lawyers condemned Mr. Barr on Sunday, they said they welcomed his rebuke of Mr. Trump and his assertions that law enforcement must be independent of politics. But Mr. Barr's actions in doing the president's personal bidding, unfortunately, speak louder than his words, they said. The letter comes days after some Democratic senators pressed for Mr. Barr to resign, and after the New York City Bar Association said that it had formally reported the Attorney General's behavior to the Justice Department's Inspector General. Strikingly, the lawyers called upon current departmental employees to be on the lookout for future abuses and be willing to bring oversight to the department. Be prepared to report future abuses to the Inspector General, the official members of the Professional Responsibility and Congress said in their letter, and to refuse to carry out directives that are inconsistent with your oath of office. Prosecutors who currently work at the department should withdraw from cases that involve abuses or political interference, the lawyers said. As a last resort, they asked Justice Department employees to resign and report publicly in a manner consistent with professional ethics to the American people the reasons for their resignation. Now, that's the first article that we're looking at today, but this is a very serious matter. And of course, even though it has calmed down considerably, it is by no means finished. There's a second article that deals with the same subject. This one is found in the Law and Crime website, published February the 17th, 2020. The writer of that article is Matt Nahum, N-A-H-A-M. And the title of this article is Former Federal Prosecutor Shreds Attorney General's DOJ Has a Virus. Everything Barr Touches Dies. The title again, Former Federal Prosecutor Shreds Attorney General. DOJ has a virus, he says. Everything Barr touches dies. Here's that article. One of the more than 1,000 former career DOJ officials who signed a letter demanding Attorney General William Barr's resignation went on cable news on Monday afternoon and explained his position. He said it was important for the history books to show that everything Barr touches dies. Gene Rossi, a Law and Crime Network trial analyst and former federal prosecutor with more than 2 decades of experience, emphasized history, and the importance of sending a message to the American people when discussing the purpose of signing a letter that will not result in Barr's resignation. You had a segment, the coronavirus, the Department of Justice, and I'm being somewhat facetious, has a virus of its own called the EBDT. Everything Barr touches dies. That's EBDT. Everything Barr touches dies. And the Stone sentencing is one symptom of that virus, Rossi said, before shifting attention to former George H.W. Bush's Deputy Attorney General Donald Ayer, article in The Atlantic. Ayer also signed the aforementioned letter, even though he used it to supervise Barr. He called Barr un-American. I just met Don Ayer. Don Ayer also signed that letter. And why is he important? Don Ayer was a U.S. attorney, a deputy solicitor general, and a deputy attorney under President Ronald Reagan and President George Herbert Walker Bush. He supervised Bill Barr, Rossi said. These are his words, not mine, he said. It's not too strong to say that Bill Barr is un-American. Rossi said he completely agreed with the logic of Ayer's take, reciting chapter and verse the controversies of recent weeks and the last year. Now, here's the reason why he said that, and I agree with his thinking and his logic. Bill Barr has decimated the esprit de corps and the rule of law in the Department of Justice, he said. And it is not just the Stone backtracking, which was disgraceful because he reacted to a tweet by the president. It's what he did, whitewashing the Mueller report, and what he did that there was spying by the FBI and CIA on Trump. He's now opening up a re-evaluation of the Michael Flynn guilty plea. Come on. He's destroying the esprit de corps and the fabric of the Justice Department, which is this: to look at a case fairly and impartially and regardless of whether you are a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, and if you have broken the law, nobody is above the law, including the President of the United States, Rossi concluded. Now, that's quite a strong article, and that one was found in the Law and Crime website, published February the 17th, 2020, written by Matt Nahum. The title of that, Former Federal Prosecutor Shreds Attorney General. DOJ has a virus. Everything Barr touches dies. There's a third article I'd like to share with you today, and these articles are quite brief, but this one is also found in the Law and Crime website, published on February the 17th, 2020. It's Matt Nahum who wrote this one, and the title of this one is Federal Judges Association Moves Up April Meeting Because It Could Not Wait. Let me give you that title again. The Federal Judges Association moves up their April meeting because it could not wait. Here's that article. Amid the outrage by thousands of former Department of Justice officials over the happening at the current version of the DOJ, a National Association of Federal Judges is moving up a scheduled spring conference because it could not wait. That's what George W. Bush's appointed Eastern District, Pennsylvania, U.S. District Judge Cynthia Roof, the president of the Federal Judges Association, told USA Today on Monday about the state of affairs. Roof said, "There are plenty of issues that we are concerned about. The urgency is plainly about what happened last week in the Roger Stone and Michael Flynn cases, on President Trump's Twitter account, and in Attorney General William Barr's public statements." In a rare statement, the chief judge of the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia also saw fit to respond last week. "The judges of this court base their sentencing decisions on careful consideration of the actual record in the case before them, the applicable sentencing guides and statutory factors, the submission of the parties, the probation offers and the victims, and their own judgment experience," Judge Beryl Howell said after the president went after U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson. Jackson is presiding over the Stone case. Judge Roof has called for a so-called emergency meeting to take place via conference call on Tuesday. "We just could not wait until April to discuss matters of this importance," Roof told USA Today. The website shows that the whole organization and the board of directors meeting was scheduled for April 18 through 19, 2020. Some legal observers immediately noted that our institutions are sounding alarms. 1,100 members of the Federal Judges Association called emergency meeting, saying it's unheard of for the Department of Justice top leaders to overrule lying prosecutors, following established politics to give preferential treatment to a friend of the president. Wow! After more than 2,000 former Department of Justice expressed alarms about challenges to rule of law, now the Federal Judges Association has called an emergency meeting concerning around this independent action taken by Barr. The Federal Justices Association is a national voluntary organization of United States federal judges, appointed pursuant to Article 3 of the Constitution, whose mission it is to support and enhance the role of its members within a fair, impartial, and independent judiciary, to actively build a community of interest among its members, and to sustain our system of justice through civics education and public outreach. Inevitably, from time to time, some judicial decisions are unpopular. But as an independent organization, they can speak in one voice to protect the independence of the judiciary and to explain its significance to a free society. The association expresses the collective view of Article 3 judges to other branches of government and the public on issues related to a fair and impartial court decision. So that's another article. And this one, of course, it tells us that the federal judges moved up their meeting because of what William Barr did. Finally, let's take a look at one last article. This one is also found in Law and Crime website. The title of this one is Roger Stone Judge Schedules Conference Call. Will she put the DOJ on the spot? Now, this article is about the judge that is supposed to give out the sentence to Roger Stone when he goes to court. The title again, Roger Stone Judge Schedules Conference Call. Will she put the Department of Justice on the spot? This one was published on February the 16th, 2020, and it was written by Alberto Leperon. Last name spelled L-U-P-E-R-O-N. Here's that article. Here's something to keep an eye on. The judge in the Roger Stone criminal wants to speak to both sides in a conference call scheduled for Tuesday. An on-the-record scheduling telephone conference call is set for February the 18th, 2020 at 11 a.m. in Courtroom 3 before Judge Amy Berman Jackson. In a separate email from the department clerk, counsel for the parties will be supplied with both the dial-in telephone number and passcode to give them access to the call. The conference call was scheduled on Sunday. The reason behind this is unclear for the record, but there's been a lot of activity in the case as of late. Prosecutors originally recommended 7 to 9 years in prison for Stone, a 67-year-old Trump campaign surrogate convicted of witness tampering, lying to Congress, and obstruction. President Donald Trump complained about it on Twitter. The Department of Justice, as an institution, walked back the sentencing recommendation. The prosecutors on the case withdrew. It remains to be seen what U.S. District Judge Amy Berman Jackson wants to discuss. Preet Bharara, a former U.S. attorney who served in the Obama administration and was famously fired by Trump, suggested that the court will look into why the prosecutors left. Officials, including Attorney General William Barr, insisted that Trump's outburst had nothing to do with the case. Crisis is near. The critics are skeptical. So you see what is happening in the Justice Department, and this is not the only event, but I just thought I would deal with this today as we take a look at what is happening here. You know, it's really interesting how when you consider all that you're seeing happening around you, you remember the phrase that justice is fallen in the street, and you look at the justice system and the changes that are being made in the Constitution and in other parts of our government, you realize that for the first 3 years of this president's tenure, he has placed in place 175 new judges, all of them far-right conservatives. Now, this is not surprising, because this is something that they have wanted to do for quite a while. But you and I need to understand that we have been warned of this for quite a while. Our lives need to reflect those things that we have been told by God, and we need to prepare for the time to come. It should never be an amazing confrontation when you see what is happening around you today. God has warned us in advance, as I said before, but you and I need to be ready for the time to come. There will be a time when there will be no justice for those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. But we do know that we will be protected by the God of heaven and earth. We do know that we will be supplied all our needs, because he will be the one who will guide safely through, and we will indeed be victorious. So we need not fear. We need not turn our backs from truth just so that we might compromise with the errors that are around. But let us firmly and resolutely place ourselves in God's hand, knowing that he will indeed protect and guide in all things. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to do this for us, that you continue to protect and guide. And today we place ourselves in your care, asking that you would do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, February the 22nd, 2020.